Hello and welcome to Practice Essentials. Today we're talking with Joseph Gordon and Deanne Johnson. They are of Gordon Assets Management. And Joe Gordon is a licensed certified financial planner and certified investment management analyst with over 29 years of professional experience in the financial services industry and is a member of leading pension and financial services organizations, including the Financial Planning Association, the American Society of Pension Professionals and Actuaries. Joe also holds the accredited investment fiduciary designation from the Center of Fiduciary Studies. Deanne is the Chief Operating Officer and Managing Director of Client Relations and has over 11 years with the firm and assists Joe on client services delivery to ensure that every client enjoys the same consistent high-level experience. Today, they're talking to us about retirement plan designs and steps to take in 2008. Deanne, what steps should we take in 2008?
Well, retirement plan design is a very broad and complex subject that we feel like most doctor practices need more guidance on. To further expand on this, I'm going to turn it over to Joe and let him discuss it further.
Well, thank you, Deanne. First, let me just start by saying that the most basic plan that any medical practice ought to consider is a 401k profit-sharing plan. The reasons for this are simple. The laws have changed since the end of the 90s and the first Tax Act passed in 2001 by President Bush, whereby you really don't need any other basic defined contribution plan other than 401k if you want to shelter the maximum from taxes, both as an employer and an employee under the 401k deferral rules. In 2008, the maximum is $46,000 that can be contributed on behalf of one individual, or $51,000 if you were age 50 or over during 2008. So to work backwards, the elective deferrals employee participants can contribute are 100% of your income, capped at a dollar amount, $15,500 if you're under age 50, and $20,500 if you are age 50 or over in 2008. So how do we get there? The most basic design is to look at some type of matching program, and traditionally 401k plans all have offered some type of matching program. Whether the business was in medical, legal, or even textile and furniture, which used to predominate North Carolina industry. Doctors' practices, though, have always had the challenge of getting employees to match. Many times the population is more female, and generally they would say in the past their husbands took care of retirement. We have seen this be the case over the last 25 years in working with medical practices, but today that's not the case. Doctors have also learned that if they offer some incentive to match, that perhaps they can get contribution rates up high enough so that they can put away the amount of money that's suitable and right for them to meet their glide path towards retirement. The basic match safe harbor that we like to call, and it's what the IRS calls, is to contribute 4% of pay for every employee annually. This can be done on a dollar-for-dollar basis up to 3% with a match of 50% on the next two, up to 5% to equal 4%, or you can do what's referred to as an enhanced match, where you could just simply contribute 100% up to the first 4% of pay. If this is done, then every doctor in the medical practice knows with certainty that there is no non-discrimination testing, the rules are relaxed, and they can defer the dollar maximums of $15,500 or $20,500 if you're age 50 and over, as previously mentioned. Today, though, the match doesn't seem to get it for many medical practices, especially doctors who are trying to shelter larger amounts. So the match may be part of the strategy, but may not be the whole solution. But at its core, the matching contribution technique gets you in the game, gets employees putting away money, gets them deferring, gets them a nice contribution on the first 4% of their wages, and also enables all of the physicians to know with certainty they can defer a pretty high dollar amount plus the match. Switching gears, let's turn to profit sharing. The other safe harbor form of contribution is referred to as a qualified non-elective profit sharing contribution. And by the way, these safe harbors, in order to take advantage of them, you have to put them in writing 30 days prior to the beginning of each plan year, and you have to re-up these in order that the employees have adequate notice, according to the IRS regulations, to plan for that coming year. The 3% profit sharing safe harbor is very popular for one main reason. That is, it actually allows a practice to contribute 3% for everybody without any pressure on some employees to make any deferrals. And so it is more expensive, perhaps, on one hand. But the other side of the design issue is this. Many practices use a profit-sharing formula known as cross-tested, where basically you cross-test the plan as if it were a defined benefit plan and actually weight the contributions according to income, age, and job classification. There's no limit to the creativity in which you can actually design these type of arrangements, but suffice to say that if a 3% contribution is made for all employees under these safe harbor regs to satisfy the deferral contribution limits, you also get double credit for this 3% as a floor contribution for your cross-tested profit-sharing contribution. There's then a 3-to-1 ratio maximum cap at which profit-sharing can be contributed on behalf of the most highest paid allocation group in the profit-sharing plan. So in conclusion, if you look at the design issue here, doctors could get a profit-sharing contribution of an extra 6% of pay to total 9% by limiting the contribution to only 3% for the staff. And when I say this, I'm not trying to imply that practices should not contribute for their employees, but the reality is today, with Medicare cuts and other pressures on practice revenue growth, that it is extremely difficult for the physicians, the ones who are the producers in the practice, to be able to shelter a great deal of money without the burden of spending a great deal on everyone else. The Pension Protection Act of 2006 was passed into law in August of 2006, and it has brought some new design features that may or may not be appropriate for medical practices depending on the size. The bigger the practice, it may be appropriate, but if you're already taking advantage of these previous safe harbors I mentioned, they may not be of interest. But let me just take a minute to comment on these. In the past, large companies such as Fortune 1000 companies had difficulty encouraging employees to contribute to the 401k plan, and most of these companies did not take advantage of the match safe harbor or the 3% non-elective safe harbor because simply it was too expensive to finance this over thousands of employees. So in this tax legislation passed in 2006, there's a feature called auto-enrollment, whereby you can install auto-enrollment for new employees and existing employees who are deferring zero into the plan, and they have to affirmatively elect out of this in order to stop it. There does not have to be a match. It is simply an auto-enrollment feature, and studies show that once employees start deferring, they don't tend to stop. The other feature that became effective January 1, 2008 is auto-enrollment with a safe harbor. This is similar to the safe harbor match previously mentioned, but it differs in a couple respects. This auto-enrollment and safe harbor match provision essentially says you have to match people who are auto-enrolling and contributing at the ratio of 1% on the first 1% of their pay and then 50% on the next 5% to total 3.5% as a maximum cost. They are not fully vested after the first year, but are fully vested pretty much after that. And I should mention that in the other safe harbor arrangements, one of the things to note is that the contributions are 100% vested to employees immediately. That's sort of the IRS toll charge in order to get relief from testing. Switching gears, let's go on to the practices whereby the physicians want to put away $46,000 or $51,000 in 2008, and then perhaps even more. Many times in looking at the design features on profit-sharing plans, the issue comes down to budget. If you have a medical practice with four doctors and another 15 or so staff people, you have to look at the combined covered wages for those other folks to look at your budget. In an example that we often find, many physicians' practices are already spending much greater amounts on their employees because they simply have not paid attention to design techniques that have evolved by tax law or other IRS or even Department of Labor regulations. In the old days, and this goes back to the mid-90s and before, most medical practices had two plans, a 401k plan and a money purchase plan, or a profit sharing plan and a money purchase plan. In tandem, many times they were contributing 10 to 15% of pay for employees. And of course, those were the days when reimbursements were greater and little attention was paid to cost. But in today's environment, those same physicians still want to shelter the maximum, but they feel they cannot afford those generous 10 to 15% contributions, at least in most specialties. Using the cross-tested profit-sharing technique, it is fairly easy to get profit-sharing contributions to total 13 to 15% of pay for the physician group and only spend between 4 and 5% for the staff employees. You can also selectively choose to contribute more for certain individuals, such as the office practice manager or other key personnel. The next issue in plan design that we think is an important one and probably one of the key takeaways today are for those practices where the cash flow is better, they have more to work with, and many of the physicians simply are earning more than they need to spend and want to save more. In North Carolina, combined taxes, federal, state, and self-employment many times approaches 45% on that marginal dollar of income. So for many, there is a key incentive to save because so much is going to the various tax authorities. We have been using a technique that was made available with the tremendous tax leverage that exists today back in 2002, subsequent to the first tax act signed by President Bush in 2001. This technique takes the 401k profit sharing plan with that cross-tested profit sharing provision that I mentioned previously and appends to it an additional plan known as a cash balance pension plan. There was some controversy about cash balance pension plans previously, but all of this was legislated away in that same Pension Protection Act of 2006, signed in August of 2006 by President Bush. The technique is simple. You have two separate and distinct plans. They are custom plans, and they have to be aggregated for purposes of testing. But in its essence, what happens is the physicians in a particular group can shelter significantly more than the $46,000 or $51,000 mentioned previously. Many times they can double down and contribute an extra $50,000 in the cash balance plan or $75,000 or even $100,000. We work with medical practices today and law firms as well, primarily in the personal service industries, whereby a lot of these individuals do not want to shelter all the same thing. So we have tiered groups in these plans, and certain physicians may not be deferring any more in the cash balance plan. Therefore, they're getting zero allocation, but others are putting away an additional $50,000 or $75,000 or $100,000 a year. For those individuals within 5 to 10 years of retirement, it is easy to shelter an additional $200,000 a year pre-tax. And I need to add that these are not techniques that require the purchase of a product. These are plan design and statutory things in the law. But the IRS does require that the plan documents be submitted to them for a favorable determination letter. This process gives your CPA the peace of mind that you have the good housekeeping seal of approval, and you can basically be assured that the tax deduction is sacred and there won't be anything to come back and bite you later on. So really, when you look at it, we feel that with the bear market that came in 2000 to 2003, where many people were taking way too much risk for their own risk tolerance and unfortunately learned after the fact, this technique of combining a 401k cross-tested profit sharing plan with a cash balance pension plan enables those people serious about saving money for retirement to really double down their contributions and put away significant amounts for their own retirement. The next question should be, well, what do we have to spend on our employees to be able to do that? In all of our experience, in most every case, the combined expense for your staff does not exceed about 12% of pay, and in many cases can be as little as 7.5% of pay. The 7.5% of pay figure is somewhat magic because that is a statutory safe harbor minimum that you have to spend to get this type of leverage. Leverage being what you contribute for you as a practicing physician and what you have to spend for the staff and so forth. One additional planning nugget I do want to close with is Roth 401k. Roth IRAs are known by many, and for most of us, they are not available because we make too much money to put money in them. But in the Pension Protection Act of 2006, Roth 401k had been a provisional tax benefit that was set to sunset unless they made this provision permanent. It was made permanent in 2006, and now beginning this year in 2008 and onward, you can put Roth 401k as a feature in your 401k plan. The benefit of doing this is really a facts and circumstances test for each individual. However, most of the people in your medical practice, that is the staff, are never going to be higher than a 15% tax bracket, likely at retirement. So thinking about it, the Roth 401k may not make too much sense to them because they're not paying a lot of tax. But for physicians who are in a high bracket today, the trade-off decision is, do I want to save 45 cents in tax, federal and state combined in North Carolina, and take the bird in the hand, or do I want to wager that tax rates will be lower when I retire? We don't think that there's an easy answer. You just have to analyze your own facts and circumstances. But as we sit here in 2008 on the verge of a new presidential election And a lot of people thinking taxes have to go up to finance all of the entitlement programs, the Iraq War, etc. There is a consensus of opinion that taxes will be going up, and so allocating a part of your 401k deferral to Roth 401k may give you some tax preferred treatment later on at retirement. With that, I just want to summarize and close with the key pearl today is that adding a cash balance pension plan to a 401k plan properly designed can enable every medical practice to have the right plan design and all of the practicing doctors to selectively have the right contribution based on their own productivity and based on their own lifestyle and goals to retirement. Thank you.
Great. If someone had a question and they wanted to contact you, how can they, what's your phone number and do you have a web address?
We do have a web address. That is simply www.gam, G-A-M for Gordon Asset Management, RIA for Registered Investment Advisor.com. So G-A-M-R-I-A.com. And if you Google us, we're up there and out there in Google space and search engine optimization. To call us, there's a toll-free number that we have, but I don't know it. But our direct line is 919 area code in Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, 313-6650. And the toll-free number is 866-216-1920. If you go on our website, you can get the email addresses for all of us, and you can simply contact us directly, and we have a 24-hour return policy. We treat every inquiry seriously. Thanks.
Thank you.